Okay? Now, that is everybody under what, 16 and under? Well, I think that... Do you want to stay in the service or go with Children's Church? All right, here he comes. Amen. That's the best student you're going to have today. Amen. Good. Great. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians. Chapter 16. And we can remain seated this morning. We're going to begin reading with verse 1. I believe I'm on. Yep, I am. Pardon me. Excuse me. If I do not do this as a prep, I'm going to have trouble. Have you ever seen water? It's called Harrogate. Spring water. The original British water company. Great Britain. If the Queen likes it, I guess I can too. Okay, beginning in verse 1. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. And when I come, whomsoever you shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. And if it be meet that I go also, they shall go with me. Now I will come unto you when I pass through Macedonia. For I do pass through Macedonia. And it may be that I will abide, yea, and winter with you, that you may bring me on my journey whithersoever I go. For I will not see you now by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you, if the Lord permit. But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. Heavenly Father, we do ask that you would bless the reading of thy word. And Lord, help us that our time would be not only spent wisely and right, but that your word would be illuminated by the power of your Holy Spirit. And may your will be done in all of our lives. If there be one here today that is uncertain between heaven or hell, Lord, may this be the day that you would receive them into the kingdom. And we'll thank you and give you all the praise. For it's in Jesus' name we ask, and God's people said, amen. We're speaking this morning on five great doors. Five great doors. Our text is verse 9. And this chapter was written by the Apostle Paul as he was on his long journey to the city and the region of Jerusalem. The first four verses deals with the subject of giving to missions. And it goes and it expands on later in the Faith Promise missions, which is another lesson in itself. Paul was perhaps, without a doubt, the greatest preacher that has ever lived. He was a man that wanted with all his heart to have the Lord's will for his life. Notice in verse 7 what he said. But I trust to tarry a while with you, if the Lord permit. So our text deals with the Apostle Paul's realization of the Lord giving him a wonderful opportunity for service. Verse 9 says, "A great door and effectual is opened unto me." The Lord has opened a door before each and every one of his people, and it too also is effectual, as was the Apostle Paul's. The word effectual means three things. It means a powerful door. That means no one but Jesus can open that door. No one. Secondly, it's an active door. The door of opportunity from the Lord is always open. Always. It is never too late in our lives to make a decision to follow Him and serve Him. Serve Him with all your heart. Thirdly, it's a constructive door. The Lord never tears down. His open door always builds lives for His glory in heaven. Think of it. And think of this. How soon the Lord Jesus is coming. It is so soon. Please be busy for Him. The rapture is so soon. The wars and rumors of wars are imminent now. There's no reversal from some nations. It is happening. The United Nations and America, in conjunction with them and other countries, are preparing for a world leader. It is done through control. And that is what is happening now. When you have a company that it hits the news on selective news, that two companies in Britain, in Europe rather, have developed a microchip that can be injected into the bloodstream, and they will know where you are at all times, and they'll know much more than that. That's about control. And so here we have it. Jesus is coming soon. There are five great doors that the Lord has given us for opportunity. Number one, there is the door of opportunity. Notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 12, "Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel," Paul says, "and a door was opened unto me of the Lord." Now, every day is an opportunity for Christ. Every day is just the door's wide open. So you say, what do we do? It's in three areas that it's open. Number one, do what you can do for Jesus while you can. Because, folks, literally soon, it may be too late. A vaccination is a way of control, especially when it's required by any government. And people can be let go of their jobs, such as Mayo Clinic fired 700 health workers because they did not get the vaccine. The military is purging, starting with the Marines, the Army, and others. Good men, good people serving because they're now being ejected because they didn't do the vaccine. Now, so you do what you can. Listen to Matthew chapter 25 and verse 10. "And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut." The rapture's coming. We'll be ushered in for the wedding feast of the Lamb. The door on earth will be shut at the rapture. The rapture will happen in a millisecond. The dead in Christ will be raised first, and they'll receive a new glorified body. Then we which remain, you see, we're going to be changed, and we're going up right alongside and right with them. Oh, listen, times are exciting. It is so imperative and so important that we all make a decision in our life, if not anything else today, that you will make your life count for Christ and you can serve Him and be a witness and take and bring souls to Christ. That's the third area of the door of opportunity. Bring in souls to hear the gospel before it's too late. Listen to Luke 14:23. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be, what does that say? Filled. Do you know what? There's some empty seats here this morning. There's not a whole lot. There's not as many as I've seen on some days over the years. And listen, you are what helps to make Florence Baptist Church the sweetness of love of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Alaska, I had started at the request of the senior pastor. I was on staff at a large church. And he said, would you start a fisherman's club? Because I had the format. I'd explained it. It wasn't going out fishing for the king salmon or the reds or halibut. It was fishing for souls. And so at a fisherman's club, a man on the following week, he stood up weeping uncontrollably, and he wept just before we went out to go out soul winning, and he meant to tell everybody how the Lord had laid on his heart to witness to a fellow employee at a garage, a large automotive shop that he worked at. He said, I'll go ahead, Lord, and I will wait until the next morning, and I'll catch him at work, and I'll talk to him on the break and at lunch. And early that morning, on the job, one of the hydraulic lifts failed, and he was under it, and the car fell on him, probably 4,000 pounds, and he died. He did not have that opportunity. He had put it off one day. Thirdly, the door of opportunity is to read God's Word every single day. Read it. Start your day off with the Word of God. Listen to Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Listen, it is the only way for all of us to grow spiritually strong and to grow spiritually upright for Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 2:2, Peter, the apostle, one of the apostles says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. So God's word presents a very clear picture. When you have a camera or your cell phone and it's not taking clear pictures, what's the very first thing you check? You check the lens, focus, automatic focus, or you check the lens to make sure that it's not like maybe the screen had gotten before and you cleaned it. Well, one day a man was taking his friend on tour in an art gallery. And in an effort to show his friends and people of his party that he knew paintings, he began to criticize a certain painting. He left his glasses at home, and as he stood before the picture, he said the following: the frame is altogether out of harmony with the subject. The subject is of very poor quality. In fact, the man in the painting is so ugly, and the painting is so poor quality also. By this time, his wife walked up alongside him and gave him a hard, strong nudge with the elbow. And she said, honey, you are talking to your own face because you are looking in a mirror. Now, that's like the Word of God. You read the Word of God, And what do you see? You say, I can see all about Jesus. Yes, you can. But you'll take a panoramic view in Scripture, and God will reveal, and He'll help you, but He'll show you all that you may need to know about yourself. He loves you dearly. The Bible does not hide our sins from us. It does not do that. Secondly, there's the door to prayer. Now, Matthew 6:6, but thou, when thou prayest, Jesus said, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee, what does that say? Openly. Openly. Hey, I want to ask you something. When you see somebody in our church family that they just seem to be bubbling over, and you could just tell God has really wonderfully blessed them, doesn't that do your heart good? Amen? So the Lord is blessing openly. All right. What's the best way to receive your needs? The way to receive for your needs is very simple. You talk to Jesus about your needs. You just do that. Listen to Matthew 21:22. In all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, that's a promise, ye shall receive. Ye shall receive. You think God wants to bless us? You think our Father wants to bless His children? Amen. How deeply and dearly He loves us. We went out to start a church in Vermont in 1975. It was a unique time in our life. We rented a house up, I believe it was in Websterville, wasn't it? Yeah, Websterville. Up toward all the granite mines, Graniteville, Websterville. And we were there to start a church in Berlin between Montpelier and Barre, B-A-R-R-E, Vermont. All these towns and the church location was going to be on State Route 2. We paid our rent. We told them we do not have money for a deposit. We barely made it there. It was a lean time in our life. And one day, I remember we got on our knees and we prayed for the Lord to meet our need. This is right after we got situated and settled. And I laid on the carpet with our two older sons. That's all the kids we had. Four were to follow later in life. But I laid a quarter, a dime, and three pennies. How much is that? 38 cents. That's all we had. All we had left. And we talked to the Lord about it. Was that the same day or the next day that you were told you have a job? And that was that Woolworths? I think it was. I don't even know if Woolworths even exists. It doesn't. But she was asked to be the bookkeeper and the manager of the store in the event the manager had to leave. For anything, any reason. And boy, that was such a blessing. Well, I went ahead and I worked at the power company. And my job was to work on their international pickup trucks. And we used to own an automotive service back in the late 60s at the corner of Main and Mesa Drive in Mesa, Arizona. And so here we are. And we got $50 finally. And we want to get a couple of bikes for our boys. Bicycles. And I call one of the stores, and they're taking all, that's back in Vermont. They changed their stock. They'll take the bikes and put them in the back and put them on the overhead. And the bikes don't show because most of the time in winter, people don't buy them. And so here we are. And I called the manager. I said, do you have any bikes? He said, our bikes are all on sale. I said, okay, we'll be right there. My wife and I drove down, pulled up in front of this hardware store. And we went in to look at the bikes. And the most amazing thing, we prayed about this before we went in. See, it's a door to prayer. So, and by the way, that's in St. Albans. That's a little distance away from where we were living. And I found two bikes, and that's in Vermont. I found two bikes that were marked down from $75 to $50 a piece. And I went in and talked to the owner of the store, the hardware. I said, would you sell these bikes for less? He said, how much will you pay? I said, I'll pay all that we have. He said, what is that? I said, we have $50. He said, I'm asking you'll sell both bikes for $50. And he looked at me and shouted, sold, just like that. Hey, you can hear that all the way through the store. And praise the Lord, God answers prayer. Our boys were just so thrilled, it was unbelievable. So we got $150 with the bikes reduced to $150 piece, and God gave us half the price of that. Listen, is there anything too great for the Lord? Is there? No. Number two, we are to pray for each other. We are to do that. Luke 22:32. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, Jesus said. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. I was senior pastor of a church in Mesa, Arizona, back in the early 90s. And I remember a man in the church, Brother Jim Wilson, and he was a good man. He came from inactivity and backsliding. We found him door to door with his family. They started coming. He rededicated his life. My goodness, how his love for the Lord began to grow. And one day, Jim lost his job. It wasn't his fault. There was just some hard times going on. And he needed a job badly to be able to take care of his family. So the church started praying for Brother Wilson and his family. And in just one week's time, the Lord gave him a good job. 1 week. Now, no matter what or where the church and group of believers is located, prayer is always needed for each other. We need to pray for each other. We need to reach out in prayer. We need to let each other know that we love them and pray for them. Sad to say, listen, a prayer meeting is usually the least attended of most Bible-believing churches. Did you hear that? It's usually the least attended. Number three, there is the door to fellowship. Now, there are three thoughts now about fellowship. Number one, when we're looking at the door for fellowship, the first one is with the Lord Jesus himself. We have fellowship. Hey, when's the last time you got up in the morning? When's the last time you spent time in prayer? And down when you concluded, you just stopped. You're done praying. But you turned your face upward and you said, Jesus, Lord, I love you so much. Tell him that you love him. He loves you dearly. He gave everything for you so that you could be saved. Isn't that wonderful? It's the door of fellowship. Now, 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. All sin. Did you hear that? Not some sin, all sin. Listen, my dearly friend, if you're here today and you are not saved, and you are not saved, he will save you, and he will forgive and cleanse all of your sin, all of it. Now, there was a man that was given a tour through a very, very large factory. And that was over, I believe, in North Carolina. And inside that factory, there were looms of hundreds and hundreds of looms that were spinning out a very fine thread. The owner said, if just one thread breaks, just one, the entire factory would shut down. This is in the heat of the production. He then broke a thread, and everything in the factory stopped, like clockwork. And the workers began to look and examine the thread to see on their machines if it had broken. When he rejoined the thread, all the spools began to run again. That's just almost like our fellowship. Our fellowship with the Lord Jesus. Just one act of disobedience from God's will and rejecting or ignoring God's will and His call, and the blessings of our fellowship will cease because the cord has been cut. You see, it is not until the thread is rejoined will our joy in Christ be restored. Oh, listen, He says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He loves you. How much He loves you. Secondly, the door to fellowship. Then there's fellowship with other believers, other Christians. Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 to 9, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and the great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Jesus says. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as, what does that say? As thyself. Love others as you love yourself. If you do not love yourself, you are breaking the great commandment. You're breaking it because He loves you. We're to love Him, but we're to love ourselves. And I mean this in the right context, as Jesus loves us. So here's something else. Who your friends are will tell where your heart is. It'll tell where your heart is. So, third thought. Fellowship in suffering with Christ. We are to have that. Philippians 3:10. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. There was a missionary in Africa, true story, that told of fjording great streams in Africa. That some of them were many, many swift and dangerous rivers. He said there was always a danger of being swept away and battered against the rocks or pulled under the water. One day he stood on the shoreline and he watched the natives of that region. They would all, before crossing the river, take a large rock. And they would take the rock and bear it upon their shoulders. And the rock would act as a ballast so they could cross the river, and it would help them with the weight to keep their feet at the bottom of the river. And by the way, we're just like that. We need a burden in our life so that we're not swept away in the streams of life. There's nothing at all that our enemy, the devil, can do to a Christian whose feet are planted in the solid ground. Amen? There's a song about the solid ground. Fourthly, there's the door of the coming of the Lord Jesus. James 5:9. James, by the way, first pastor in Jerusalem at a Baptist church, First Baptist Church. Wasn't called that, but it was the First Baptist Church in Jerusalem. He says, grudge not one against another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, that word carries so much with it. Behold, the judge standeth at the door. He's at the door. He's waiting. I believe it is in our generation. I believe it's in our time that he's returning. So there's at least three things that the rapture could cause and should cause each of us to do. Number one, to live and be pure for Jesus Christ. To be pure. 1 John 3:3, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Part of my ministry over the years has been to would either go to a location that had a need and we'd start a independent Baptist church, or we would go to an area where a church was struggling that needed revitalization. Such was the area of a location called Medina, New York. Medina, New York was on the western tier. Faith Bible Baptist Church was just off of Route 104, about halfway between Buffalo, halfway between Rochester, New York. And I remember so much as the church was growing. We started a Christian school. And Christian schools, you ought to thank the Lord that Florence Baptist Church has a Christian school. Thank God for Florence Baptist Academy. Amen. And thank the Lord for the workers and the administrator that puts up with so much from everybody, including myself, Nancy. And Nancy is, thank the Lord for you. Amen. I mean that sincerely. She is kind of like a hidden picture, and she does so much and is so much of an influence. And Nancy, we appreciate you. This is totally not on my books, but let's just show Nancy we appreciate her. Amen. Amen. I told you, I'll collect the money from you after. But there was a young man that his wife got saved. He came to see her get baptized. And he would come periodically. He was bitter. And I'm going to tell you what. Before he got saved, if I came near his house, knocked on the door, wanted to talk to him, I mean, he was a Marine, ex-Marine. He got out. He would talk like he was still one. I don't mean that. Well, I guess I do. But sarcastically, not all Marines are that way. But he would cuss me out one side and down the other before he got saved. But one day he got saved. One Sunday, before the AM service, after he had gotten saved, he came to me. And he said to me, "Preacher, are you ready for this? The one that cussed me out all the time. Pastor Eccles, preacher, Jesus is coming soon." And I looked at him and I thought, Lord, what a difference. What a change came over Brother Stewart. Secondly, it is an incentive, the rapture, the return. It is an incentive to have patience. 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Thirdly, it should cause us to have a life of persistence, to be faithful to the work of Jesus Christ on the earth. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. Paul says, moreover, on top of this, moreover, it is required in students, and stewards, excuse me, that a man be found faithful. Faithful. It is required. You want to be a servant of the Lord? Be faithful. Be faithful. The last point. The door of salvation. The door of opportunity. The first subpoint on that is there is an adversary for the door of salvation. I know you're thinking, some of you, all different things that could be adversarial. But the adversary, the worst adversary for salvation, is time. It's time. 2 Corinthians 6:2. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. I've drawn you to me. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. I was in a revival meeting in New England. And in this revival meeting, a young man came forward and he gave his heart to the Lord Jesus. And after the meeting, he walked out. The church was on a main street through a fair. And as be the members, they would just step on the edge of the curb. Their cars were parked up and down the street, side roads. There was a parking lot in the back, had a big crowd. And he started crossing. After the meeting, he was hit by a car, this young man. And he laid in the road. And he was lay there dying. Nobody dared move him. The road was shut down. The police came, the ambulance, and the health workers, and they nodded their head. Listen. The man in that service, the altar worker, did you hear that? The altar worker. He came over to him, and he reached out and rubbed his forehead. Didn't dare move him. But he kissed him on the cheek. He loved him in the Lord. And the young man looked up at him. His eyes rolled. He couldn't move. And here's what he said. I am now ready to meet Jesus. And he left. I thought his death would put a knife in the heart of the church. And the next night, where there was about 150 before, there was over 300. And then it grew to 400. Listen, Paul says there's a great door, an effectual opened unto me. Effectual. The Lord can open it. No one can close it. No one. The challenge to you this morning, my beloveds, is when this invitation is given, not for a show, but come. Kneel at this altar or kneel at the front row or sit down and pray. And ask the Lord to take you and use you as his instrument of righteousness and service. If you are here today and you are not saved, listen, there will be no better time in your life to be saved than the time at hand right now. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to be in heaven. He wants you to be prepared when he returns. Listen, he loves you. We love you. God wants you to go to heaven when you die. On that cross, he took your sin and mine and laid our sin in his own body. God the Father shrouded his son with the penalty of sin of the earth. And his blood spilled upon the ground, and he made the payment for our sin. And the third day he rose from the grave, never to die again. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let's bow our head just for a moment. Please, I'd like to talk to you, my heart to yours. My heart to yours. If you are not sure that if you are going to, when you die, that you'd go to heaven, and you're not sure of that, let's take care of it now. The Lord can and will help you with that. He will save you. I'm going to pray a very simple prayer of salvation. I'm going to ask you, as I pray aloud, to pray this prayer from your heart quietly and mean it and pray it to the Lord Jesus. He'll hear you and He'll answer and He will save you if you're sincere. So praying quietly from your heart, pray this prayer to Him. Dear Lord Jesus, I realize that I'm a sinner. I believe that You died for me on the cross. I believe You took my place and paid for all of my sin with Your life and Your shed blood. Lord Jesus, the best way I know how, I'm asking You to come into my heart right now. I'm asking You to save me. Forgive me of all my sin. And take me to heaven when I die. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now our heads are bowed. At the end of this prayer, the invitation starts. In addition to folks that we're talking to now, please don't put off what the Lord wants. Just come and give your life to Him as a believer, willing to do whatever He wants. And He'll help you and He'll bless you. A moment ago, we prayed a very simple prayer of salvation while no one is looking. If you prayed that prayer with me, would you just simply let me know that you did that while no one else is looking? No one will come to you. Would you let me know that just by raising your hand very quickly and put it back? Yes, one hand. Lord, I believe, Brother Eccles, I believe the Lord saved me. Is there another? Is there another? Listen, you say, I don't think that my life is all that bad. You are just the type of person that you need Christ. Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There'll be no sin in heaven. None whatsoever. If you prayed that prayer with me and you raised your hand, you and you only, no one's looking around, would you look at me just for a moment? Okay, now just nod your head. Did you mean that prayer? Okay, now, this is the Word of God. The Word of God is what helps you, myself, and others to come to Jesus. So according to God's Word, if you died today, tomorrow, or 10 years from now, because He saved you, you'd go to heaven. Is that right? Amen. When the invitation is given, it'll take some courage. I'll be down here. I want you to come and meet me. And then we have one of the ladies in our church, an altar worker. She'll help you. Okay? Amen. Heavenly Father, we do ask now as we go to the invitation that Your will might be accomplished and had in the life of each and every person here. Thank You for this lady that has prayed and has gotten it settled. We ask that You'd help her. And Lord, if there are others that need to come, perhaps to join the church, perhaps to just come and dedicate their life or surrender for You to use them, whatever that might be, Lord, help them and that they might come and respond. For we ask You in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. Amen. Okay, let's stand. If you raise your hand, please don't even take a hymn book. But just come. And Miss Nancy, we're going to need you up here. Let's stand together, please. I'm say it again, yeah.
Humble cry, while on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. All ask thou the spring of all my comfort, more than life to me, whom have I on earth beside thee? Say room in heaven but thee. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by.
Young lady that is responding, very happy, rejoicing, she needed assurance. Sometimes folks need assurance of their salvation. It's better to be sure and get that little bit of doubt cast out. The only way it's going to be cast out is the Word of God.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Amen. Okay, I'd like to is it Jemmy? No.
Gemma.
Gemma. And Gemma, you got that taken care of on insurance.
Yeah. Actually, when I first came here back in August.
Pardon? Well, we're delighted. We're delighted. Are you a member here?
I've been here a while. I think so.
You've been a member for a little while. Praise the Lord. Amen. There's a song. You remember it? Proverbs 3.
Yep. Yes, sir.
And all thy ways acknowledge him. And what is it? And he shall
direct
thy paths. I'll sing it once because some of you probably have not heard it. In all thy ways acknowledge him, in all thy ways acknowledge him, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. In all thy ways acknowledge him, in all thy ways acknowledge him, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths, and he shall direct thy paths. Let's sing it now. How many of you know it now? Amen. Let's sing it nice and loud, okay?
In all thy ways acknowledge him. In all thy ways acknowledge him. In all thy ways acknowledge him. And he shall direct thy paths. In all thy ways acknowledge him. In all thy ways acknowledge him. In all thy ways acknowledge him. And he shall direct thy paths. And he shall direct thy paths.
Isn't God good?
Amen.
Amen. I'll tell you what. I feel that I can fight hell with a fire hose.
Amen.
Don't you get that way excited and just happy? Amen. Okay, let's be dismissed in prayer. And as we look to the Lord, I'd like to ask Brother Kevin, if you would stand and dismiss us. I'm going to ask you to shake hands with these three people after. Tell them you love them. Amen. Brother Kevin.
Father God, thank you for this day. Thank you for using Pastor Ethel's here to deliver your message. Help us to go home and study these things and put them in our hearts so that we might not sin against you, Father. It is important to hear your word, but it is just as important to go home and study it and to know for ourselves for surety. Thank you for your assurance of faith, of your salvation, Father. We just thank you so much. Be with us, guide us, direct us, and bring us back. And all these things I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Service at 5 p.m.